Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship. If you haven't already, open up your bulletin. You'll find a copy of our notes in the middle that we're going to be looking at today. Last week we kind of finished a series, and we ended by saying that we're talking about how to live a blessed life, a life of meaning. It was Socrates that once said, "An unexamined life is a life not worth living." And so we want to look at our lives. We want to look at where are we going? What is our journey? All of the things that you've done this week, all of the activities, the meetings that you've been to, whether it was cleaning, whether it was going places, how does that factor in to who you are and who you're becoming? And part of that is gathering as a community and being a church then of a gathering of people that are blessed, people that are going somewhere, people that support and nurture one another. So if we're being called, we're being invited by God to be a community that is blessed. I wanted to really begin by saying that I think that what we're called to do is to be a church for the ages. And you can look at that of two ways: church for a long period of time, or a church that crosses all different ages and different expectations that are coming today from the young and the old and the middles. And so I wanted to start this morning by asking you, what is your definition of a church? What do you think of when somebody mentions church? Do you think of brick and concrete and room and pews and space? Do you think of a place that you went to as a kid, or a place that sometimes was rather large and foreboding, places that you went for weddings and funerals, something very strict and very quiet? What is your image of what church is? Maybe you think of a people that you grew up with, a community that surrounded you as you grew up and nurtured you and helped you continue to be the person that you are today. Maybe for you, that is your definition of church. Well, this morning I wanted to start by giving you kind of, we could argue about definitions, but I want to kind of give you a starting point for our discussion today about who we are and who we are becoming. To me, a church is a group of people that is saved by God's Son, shaped by God's Word, serving as God's emissaries. An emissary is somebody that has been given a very special message to deliver. They're given a task, a very special task that they sign up for. Now, the Bible, Paul often talks about us being ambassadors for Christ, how we represent Christ. We are a group of people, as members of the church, that have come together because we're saved. We have changed courses. We are on a different path. We are unique. We are different than other social organizations in that we have freely chosen to shape our lives according to the Word of God, that we recognize its truths, and we say we so order our lives after the example of Christ. This is who we are as a people. We need to encourage and support one another and to recognize that as a result of that, God has given us a special task. Now, you probably know as well as anybody, if you've been in the church for very long, that even if we could agree on that definition and everybody say, yes, that is our definition, we recognize that problems are going to exist. Living that out on a day-to-day basis, struggling with what that means and how we live that out in our culture and our context, often brings division, conflict, and problems. And so if we are going to be a church for the ages, we need to get back to our fundamentals. What is it that unites us? What is it that we bring to this place? And can we have those conversations and those dialogues with grace, with forgiveness, with understanding, and with a big helping of humility. Well, you're probably not that surprised that as soon as the church formed, as soon as Paul began his journey through Mesopotamia, as he began through Macedonia, and Paul started a church, when Paul was probably no more than a month away from that church, divisions began. And Paul had to deal with the problems of getting people to work together. And so we're going to look at Paul's writings, especially to his church in Corinth, that have come down through the ages. And I believe that the reason that these stories or these letters have survived is because throughout the millennia, throughout the 2,000 years that have passed, they still speak to the human condition. They still speak to us. Every generation wrestles with these issues of control and of power. And so this morning, we're going to open up to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to talk about how we can live the blessed life as a blessed church that is holy and consecrated. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. Now listen to Paul as he talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then again in chapter 3. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's house have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another follow Apollos. Another follow Cephas. And still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? After all, what is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Dear God, your church is our home. It is our family. It is our place of nurturing and growth. And we pray, oh God, that in our time together, you would unite us together in a bond of fellowship and love that is stronger than any circumstance that we may face. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I ask you, and I say, what is church? Define for me what is church. Everybody has an image that comes to your mind. There is a family dynamic. There is a building. There is structure. There is program. Whatever it is, there is an image that comes to mind. This is kind of the formal definition. The Latin for church is ecclesia, which comes from the Greek ek, which means out, and kaleo, which means to call. The church is the people of God called out of slavery to freedom, from sin to salvation, from despair to hope, darkness to light, from an existence centered on wants to an existence focused on gifts. We as a people have been called. You have been saved by God's grace. You have freely, of your own volition, have chosen to follow Christ and to follow that example for the rest of your life. And so we gather as a community to basically ask the central question this morning, how you doing? How'd that work out for you this week? Were you wherever you were? And I pray God bring it to your mind. Maybe you were at work, and maybe you were at the store, maybe you were at home. Were you the example of Christ that you wanted to be, that you said that you wanted to become? And if not, why not? And so the question that we often have to ask as members of the church is, have we been called out of society to kind of hide behind the walls, or has God called us into a different life, a different way of being, a different life of activity? And so this morning, as we begin to look at what the church means, we hear from Paul's writings that immediately when Paul began his church, divisions began. And Paul identifies what he is hearing from Chloe's house. He's saying there are from people from Chloe's house saying that some groups, some factions, if you will, maybe even cliques began to develop, and some said, I belong to Paul, and I belong to Apollos, and I belong to Cephas or Peter. What is Paul talking about? How does that affect us today? One of the things that we find, even in Paul's time, is that divisions typically occur because we have within us a spirit of competition. We want a certain amount of power, a certain amount of control. There is our group, and our group is different than that group, which is different than that group. And automatically, when people started to say, I belong to Paul, and we must be better than the people that belong to Apollos, that belong to Cephas. What you're hearing, even in Paul's writings, is what becomes very typical even in our own generation. Think about these three characters and why Paul identifies these three factions that are beginning to develop. Who is Paul, especially for the Corinthians? Paul is the founder. He is the one that began that church. He is the establishment. He is the traditional way that we learned about our faith. Give me that good old time religion. Paul was our foundation. We should be about Paul. And then pretty soon, after Paul leaves, in comes Apollos. And Apollos is a Greek Christian. Apollos was a Gentile that got converted. But you can imagine Apollos coming in with his Greek learning, speaking the Greek language, a native of the people. He was a very dynamic, charismatic leader, and he made the church flourish. He was charismatic. He understood our language, and he did things that were so typical of our generation, and people gravitated to it. Man, the show that he could put on, he really spoke to our deepest needs, and people said, I belong to that. And then along comes this guy by the name of Cephas, or the Apostle Peter starts coming along. And what do we know about Peter? Peter is the rock. Peter can say, I was there. I saw Christ. And if you allow kind of a little bit of cultural, inserting a little of our own culture, Peter is the superstar. He's the one who's written the books about, I was there. He's the one who people come in and say, Peter, how do I get his autograph? So all of a sudden, Peter kind of sweeps in, and he's the megastar. He's the mega church that is just, wherever he goes, crowds gather around him because of who he is. And naturally, it influences the people in Corinth, and they kind of go, I'm all about Peter. Whatever Peter says, that's who I am. And so you have within the Corinthian church three separate groups. The establishment, the traditionalists. Don't you remember the good old days when Paul really spoke with fire and authority, and he laid it out scripturally who we are? And there are some that said, yes, but I remember the dynamic character of Apollos and how much energy how much joy he just fed us with. And others said, but I remember Peter, the rock, the one that really was there, who has it all figured out. And Paul almost throws up his hands. And he says, and some of you, a few, said, but you know, really? I follow Christ. And I get this sense, I don't know if you ever hear Paul's writings, where Paul just seems to kind of go, just slaps his forehead. He said, is Christ divided? What have we done? What do you think's going on here? Is it about Paul? Who is Paul? Who's Apollos that you should follow us? He said, all we are, we're servants. we're field hands. And so he begins to teach them, and he begins to share with them who they are and what we're about. And I wanted to share that and ask, as we begin to wrestle, sometimes we get into that same habit. We do too, right? We have different factions. People want different things. And yet Paul's words should echo, is Christ divided? Are we divided? Have we given up the blessed life because we're starting to focus on what we want? Paul says, the first thing he says, I want you to be aware of this, that we are all on an assignment. You have an assignment. We are just co-workers. You and I, we're working together. And he uses this imagery. He says, who is Paul? Paul planted a seed. And then Apollos, he came and he watered the seed. But who made it grow? He said, or it's like having a building. He said, we're all God's building. He said, some people are the construction workers, the carpenters. There are some that have to be the electricians, and there's some that have to be the plumbers. But guess what? We're all building a building. We're all working together. We're all contributors to the body. In that chapter 12, Paul lays out how we all have gifts and how it's all critical that we all work together. What Paul is trying to say to all of us is we all have a part to play. You have a part to play in all of this. The question is do you know what your part is? Because as soon as we start losing that vision of planting, of building, and of growing, we start to become competitive. We start looking at others. Well, what are they doing? They're not doing anything. And all of a sudden, I'm all about Paul and I'm all about Apollos. What is your assignment? What is our assignment? We have so many opportunities for you to get involved. It just staggers the mind. Whether you want to be involved in 30-hour famine, whether you want to be involved in the Haiti mission trip, whether you want to be involved in serving at the community breakfast or the clothes closet, whether you want to be in a Sunday school class, there is an assignment for you somewhere to pick up a shovel and start digging some dirt. What is your assignment? What are we called to do? We're co-workers. Paul also makes it clear that all that we do is interrelated. You can't survive. You can't have a blessing. You can't live a blessed life by yourself, at least not the full one that God had intended. And Paul is saying that even though Paul planted, he needed Apollos to come in behind him. He needed those people to come in and water what he was doing because it was God that was growing and producing the fruit. I love this passage from Martin Luther King. From the letter from the Birmingham jail, he writes, whatever affects one affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. Think about that for a minute. As a community gathered, you can't be whole, you can't be healed, you can't be alive unless the rest are coming along with you. We are all connected. If we begin to divide and we begin to have factions, it affects us all. We can't just hide behind where we are in our own little group because we are being affected. Paul is reminding us that we're in a body. And he says, can it be possible that the hand says to the body, I don't need you? Or that the foot says, I no longer belong? Or that the mind separates from the body? You're all interrelated. If you want to be alive, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, you have to recognize you have a part to play. You have a part to play. Are you picking up that part? Paul says, we all have an assignment. We all are interrelated. But he says at the very core, please nail this one down. There is a foundation on which we all stand. We are all rooted in Christ. Paul says, it doesn't matter what I do, I plant a seed. Have you ever planted seeds that never germinated? Yeah. Have you ever built a building that fell apart? Paul says, Jesus says, if you build it on shifting sand, it's going to do that. Have you ever known parts of the body that just chose not to function? And sometimes we call that surgery. Paul is saying that the foundation of all that we do, we're on the same foundation. We're all rooted in Christ. Everything that you see above the ground is based on how deep and how significant the roots are underneath the ground. I love this passage, and I hope that you'll put that into memory, that like branches on a tree, we all grow in different directions. We all have a different purpose, and yet our roots remain as one. We find ourselves in Christ growing in what God is doing. God is nurturing us from below, constantly feeding each and every one of us so that we can flourish above the ground. We have to remember that our constant focus and our constant attention is on who God is and how He is working in us. And so that whenever we enter into those times of conflict, we're still able to say, I wonder how God is working in that person and how that's going to affect me and our future. What is our foundation? Is it power and privilege? Or is it the message of Christ? So here's the challenge I want for us. And I hope that I know it may seem kind of simple, but we have to get our focus of our church of saying, how do we become a church for the ages? Not for the next millennia, because who knows what's going to happen in the next millennia. But for all those that come to our doors. All those. I mean, I'm always staggered by the difference between the youngest people. I mean, right now, some of our children will never know a world without a cell phone or without the internet. They'll never know what that's like. And yet we have other people that are some of our elderly that refuse to have a cell phone in the house. Okay? That dynamic, how do we embrace all of that? We need to look back and we need to thank God. We need to look back at our history of where we've come from, of who we are and how we have survived. And we need to say, thank you, God, that you have gotten us here. We need to look forward and trust God. We need to take some risks. We need to do some things that are going to be different, that are going to be challenging, but we do it with the same foundation. We need to look around. You have to look around and say, we need to find where are we being called to serve? What are we being asked to do? Because the bottom line that Paul wants us to know is we all have a part to play. What is your part? And finally, when all of that works together, in the quietness, we are able to look within finally and see that God is in the midst of it. Can we be a church for the ages? I want to end with two thoughts. One comes from A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer once said, he said, the church is like 100 pianos. Imagine that each of you had a piano, right? And you're all trying to tune according to each other. You know, Karen back there is leading us, and she's saying, now everybody tune to one another. And everybody starts playing, and the problem is everybody is a little bit off. And you're all trying to tune to one another. It's just not going to work, because you're going to hear different people, and you're going to try and figure out who is closer to the truth. But imagine if somebody gets up with a tuning fork and says, this is the true middle C. Tune to this. Focus on this. He says two things happen. First of all, your piano is now in tune. You have centered your life on what is true. He said, but the same thing now happens. You're now tuned to everybody else. All 100 pianos are now in sync because they focused on what is true. What is true for you? What is the purpose of the church? What is the truth of your mission? Finally, I want to tell you, one of my favorite cartoons is Peanuts. And there's this wonderful cartoon that I have in my office of Linus is sitting in front of the TV. And Lucy comes in to the TV room, and she says, change the channel. And Linus says, who do you think you are? I'm not going to change this channel. And she says, I've got 5 good reasons why you ought to change that channel. And she holds up her hand and she says, now, individually, each one of these is not very important. But when they are curled and they are unified, they are an awesome power to behold. And you see in the next frame, Linus stands up and he says, what channel would you like? And then in the following, the one that really kind of gets you, you see Linus standing there looking at his hand and he says, now, why can't you guys get together like that? And I wonder sometimes when we look at ourselves and we take the challenge of our community and what God is asking of us, do we ever stop and say, why can't we get together like that? Why can't we? We each have a part to play. Each of you have some aspect of the body that we need, whether it's planting, whether it's digging the soil, whether it's weeding the garden, whether it's watering the seeds, you have a part to play. And so I want to leave you with this question. Do you know what your part is? Have you figured that out yet? And are you ready? Are we ready to be awesome to behold? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this day for the glory of your presence among us to challenge us and to awaken us. Help us, O God, to continue to fulfill your calling, to be a church that is blessing others because of the blessings we receive. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, brothers and sisters, let us continue to worship God by the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.